great. Thank you for the Lord. That clap for the Lord. Thank you so much. It was good. Well, let's see. I want to talk to you this morning. I talked to two of my men this week, and one of them said, "My wife is so loves me so much. She loves me so much when I get into bed at night. We've had some cool nights, and she loves me so much, and when I get into bed at night, she scoots over and gives me the warm side." Now, that's pretty good, isn't it? But then one of my deacons was there, and he spoke up, and he said, "Bobby, I want to tell you, it's not like you think. She may give you that side of the bed because she wants to move as far away from you as she can get from you." So I don't know. I don't know about that. But anyway, hey, it's good to be in God's house. I hope you've had a good week. This morning, I want to talk to you probably on one of the shortest texts. I seldom ever use just one verse of Scripture, but that's what I'm going to use this morning. And I probably could preface it by saying, I could have, rather than this title, "Train Up a Child," I could have put down "Skip." I could have put "My Mama's Verse," because this is my mother's verse. The verse is Proverbs 22 and verse 6. And it says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it." You know that well, don't you? You know that? You could quote that verse. Most of you could. If you can't, I hope you will after this service. "Train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he shall not depart from it." That is a word of instruction. It is also a word of promise. It is a promise. It's my mama's verse. She probably has quoted that verse more than any other verse. "Train up a child." And I want to just tell you this morning that I don't believe Cam Newton, he didn't, you know who, how many of them knew who Cam Newton is? He didn't learn to play football by watching television or reading books. He was trained to play football. And he's doing mighty good in Carolina this year, isn't he? Doing mighty good. By the way, I'm glad to see all of you here. I know most of you, are there any Red fans here today? Any Alabama fans? Just not ashamed of it. Anybody, any? Yes? Well, y'all probably couldn't get tickets to the game, maybe. I don't know, Richard, but see, and I talked about it. I said, "Do you think anybody be at church?" "Oh, yeah." She said, "Yeah." How many Auburn fans? Any Auburn fans here? All right. Well, a few Auburn fans, too. How about Troy? Anybody, any Troy fans? And a lot of you go both ways there, don't you? A lot of, all right. I see a lot of Troy people. But I want to tell you, Cam didn't learn to play football watching TV or reading books. One of my favorite singers is Krista Trewick. She sang in this praise group a minute ago. Krista didn't learn to sing the way she sings by, and there's another great singer right there, Krista Lee. And I don't believe she learned to sing just listening to music or reading books. She's a trained, Krista has a trained voice. Many of these people do. Craig does. A trained voice. And the Bible says here, though, that we are to train up a child. That is the responsibility of the parents, to train up a child in the way they should go, and when they're old, they'll not depart from it. And I tell you how I believe that, what that means, Brother Richard. Not that when he's an old man, he'll come back. He'll stray off and come back. But I believe it means this, Chip. I believe it means that a young person, if they're trained up, that when they get old, when they get whiskers on their chin, maybe, let's say, that they will not, when most, at a time when a lot of people, young people are going astray, they won't go astray because they've been trained. Now I want to tell you, the Bible says, train up a child. It don't say, teach a child. Because I tell you, a child can be taught a lot of things, and will be taught a lot of things in life. And I can teach him one thing. Anything you can teach him, somebody else can come along and teach him something else. But when you train a child, and the word train, by the way, in the word train in the dictionary says to prepare for contest, to instruct by exercise, to drill, to discipline for use, to form to proper shape. That's what it means to, that's what the dictionary says, if you really train a child, train up a child. Now, I told Dean Craig I was going to preach on him today. Well, you Dean sitting up there? Dean's a bird hunter. He and I went out here to Sampson, Alabama last year. He took me bird hunting. How many of y'all ever hunted quails? Anybody? Yeah, a lot of quail hunters. I'm not a very good shot. And thank you, for Dean, not for telling, making me feel bad about that. I miss a lot more birds than I hit. But Dean raises bird dogs. What do you raise, setters or pointers? Some of both. Spaniels, he said. All right. Well, anyway, he raises bird dogs. Now, I'll tell you how he does it. He trains them and trains them and trains them. I raised dogs one time. I raised 7 litters. Doctor, looking at the vet, Wayne, I raised 7 litters of English Bulldog puppies. When I was a chaplain at the United States Military Academy at West Point, I raised 7 litters of Bulldog puppies. Me and my wife raised 30 Bulldog puppies. And I know y'all think that's foolish, but I love the Bulldog. I said when I went off to Desert Storm, I wrote my son, Tim. I said, Tim, if I get back, I'm going to buy you a real dog. I'm going to buy you a Bulldog. Just something I like about a Bulldog. Not all that slobber and all, but I like something that's got that Bulldog grip. You know, I like that. We got a little lady in our church. I call her my Bulldog. And that's a long story with that. But anyway, but I love a Bulldog. And I raised 30 puppies. Those puppies sold for $1,500 a dog. Believe that? I mean, when they were 6 weeks old, Martha would get down on the floor. She'd sleep with them. When we'd have a new litter of puppies, Von Seal, she would literally sleep on the floor about the first of the week. She didn't want the mama to lay on one of those little puppies. That's $1,500 to lay it on. So, you know, he didn't want to lay on that. So, but anyway, I raised those dogs. And best dog I ever had, his name was Samson. I had Samson for about 6 years. And Martha got sick, and we finally had to give him away. I called one of my chaplain assistants up in New York. I said, Jason, come get Samson. But Jason had run the streets from me at Fort Bragg, where I was a chaplain. I was I'm a super-duper paratrooper. Y'all knew that, didn't you, guys? I'm a paratrooper. Served there twice. And me and Samson, I have led a company of soldiers down that street, me and that little Bulldog. Now, if you know Bulldog very well, they can't run long. It's usually just the photo ops that they get Samson leading the parade, you know. But I got a big picture at home. They framed it. The commanding general gave me a picture the day I left Fort, the 82nd, brand of me and Samson running down there, about 100 soldiers behind them. But old Samson, when he was born, an average bulldog, a good bulldog, weighs about 10, 11 ounces when they're born. You know how much Samson weighed? He weighed 20 ounces. The vet put him right there in my hand when he was about 1 second old. And I loved that dog. I had people offer me a lot of money. I said, no, money won't get Samson. Money would never get him. I loved him. I trained him. That dog would mind me better than my kids would, pretty much. But I said, Samson... I say, Samson, sit. That was his best trick. He would sit. I told him I'd tell him to sit anywhere. And he'd sit and stay forever. And you know why he did that? Because about 10 feet away, I put a treat over there. And when I say that, brother, I didn't even have to say it. I just put that hand up. And old Samson would stay there. He'd just look, those eyes glued on that treat, you know. And I don't know why I tell you that. But anyway, you know. There's a lot of people, though, but there's a lot of people spend more time training dogs than they do the kids. Sad thing in our day. Somebody said they tie the dog up at night and let the kids run wild. Spend more time training the dog than they do the kids. The Bible says here, though, in Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. First time I think I went to New York City, I visited a number of places, but they told us like 100,000 runaway kids on the streets in New York City. And really, it burdened me. They say that there's 1.5 million missing children in America. Some of them missing, some of them are runaways, some maybe been kidnapped, but 1.5 million. But I tell you a sad thing, a lot of kids are kidnapped right under the old devil gets them right from under their mama's nose. And I want to tell you, this is a day, I think it may be, I don't want you to believe it's a hard message. And I'm not an expert. I'm talking about raising kids. I'm not an expert. I've raised 3 kids. But I tell you this, the night Pam was born, I prayed, Steve, and I said, God, she was 5'14", weighed 500 pounds, 14 ounces, and she looked like a wet rat. But I prayed that day in that hospital in Clarksdale, Mississippi. Young daddy, 21, 2 years old, 23. I said, God, no matter what I do in my life, God, help me to be a first-class daddy. And Lord, help me and Martha to raise those kids for you. And I can tell you today that I have three kids that love the Lord. And I can tell you this, they are in His service today. I can tell you that about my kid. They are in His service. They used to say when somebody joined the military, he's in the service. Well, I can tell you today, my kids are in the service of the Lord. Amen. And I tell you this, I'm praying the same thing. I'm claiming the same thing about my seven grandkids. And I have failed and failed and failed at a lot of things. If I asked, if I show hands, how many of y'all have felt like a failure? Don't raise your hand. But I bet you everyone have. Every one of you have. You felt like a failure. I have failed and failed at a lot of things. But one thing I'm telling, standing here and tell you today is that my kids, they know I love Jesus. And they know their preacher daddy loves Jesus and I love them. And I tell you this, I've tried to live a preacher's life all these years. I've tried to. They know that. Now, raising kids. I'm not an expert. There are no experts. But I want to make three or four points about today. To give you some warnings. There's some warnings. There's some dangers raising kids today. One of them is, I think, liberalism in our society. Liberalism in religion. Amen. Me and Doris watched, other night, watched one of the presidential candidates make a speech. He was speaking before a church group down in Houston, Texas. And he was reading the Bible. It was strong, man. I said, that guy, I believe he's a real thing. I believe he's really a Christian. But he got off and I told my mother-in-law, I said, Doris, he did the most unpopular thing he could do. Because you see, that's the worst thing he could do is get up and tell somebody. It seems like it's that way in our day. Because it seems like we don't really want we don't want somebody that's a person of convictions. We live in a day that the Bible, the authority of God's Word, that is all questioned. We live in a very liberal society. And today, that's probably the least popular thing that a presidential candidate do, stand up, Mike, and tell them, I'm a child of God. And, you know, Jimmy Carter, who was probably not our most effective president, but he was a Christian. And he said he was a born-again Christian. And the media just murdered him. And I suspect, and I know I'm on the television radio now, but I suspect what's going to happen in a few months. The media is strong and they color everything, but we live in a day like that of political correctness. And so I want to say that that is a thing, liberalism in religion today. Jude chapter 3, verse 3, there's only one chapter in the book of Jude, but there's a good warning here talking about liberalism today. Jude said in Jude chapter 1 and verse 3, dear friends, although I was very eager to write to you about the salvation we share, I felt I had to write and urge you to contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. For certain men whose condemnation was written about long ago have secretly slipped in among you, and are godless men who changed the grace of our God into a license for immorality and deny Jesus Christ, our only sovereign and Lord. Let me tell you, today, that's the world we live in. People slip in. He said, be careful, because ungodly men will slip in. And we live in a day like that, the time now, and I believe that's why kids need to know what they believe and why they believe it. And I'm going to tell you something. I told them in the first service, you ought to help us here. You ought to cooperate with the church staff and with your Sunday school. You ought to see to it that you get your kids to Sunday school and the church. I was proud of my little kids from Texas. Tim said, told the girls, Sonny and Macy. Sonny's 7 and Macy soon be 9. He said, now girls, we can't play ball and go dancing. We can't be involved in everything. Y'all can pick out one activity. What activity do you want to do? And my little granddaughter said, we want to be in Awanas. Awanas. Y'all know what that is? Bible memory. Said, we want to be in the Awanas. That's what we want to do. I'm going to tell you, kids need to know what they believe and why they believe. Because I've seen too many of them basically go off to college and their faith is shipwrecked. And they just, you know, they don't believe anything, you know. And then that leads me to the second problem, and that is humanism in education. Humanism in education. And I want to say we got some of the greatest teachers in the world right here in Enterprise, Alabama. And how many of y'all teachers? How many have made a living teaching? How many teachers in the class? A lot of you, many of you. But today, a problem, Dr. Joe, is humanism in education. And you know that. You'll say amen to that, won't you? And the humanists, and I'm not talking about humanitarianism now. That's a good thing, humanitarianism. But I'm talking about humanism. I'm talking about where they believe, they teach that there is no higher power, where they don't believe in the supernatural, don't believe God created everything. They don't believe there's any set standards, no right and wrong. The humanists believe all that. And a fellow, Richard, by the name of John Dewey, years ago, John Dewey was one of the fathers of American education, and he taught them, you don't whip Johnny. Let Johnny just grow up like a flower and develop. Don't ever tell him he's right or he's wrong. And that's one reason I believe a lot of kids today, they say, I don't have to mind my mom and daddy. My teacher told me I had a right to my own opinion. And I tell you, we got some great teachers today. And this wouldn't happen, I hope, in Enterprise, Alabama. But, you know, there was a time in school when I was growing up, Tommy, that we prayed before a lot of... You didn't hardly do anything in the schoolhouse before you prayed about it. And today we live in a time where in some states, I hope not in Alabama, and I hope not in Enterprise, Alabama, but in some states, you get arrested for it. You just get on the PA system and say the blessing for the food or something like that, you could get arrested. Y'all know it's the truth. If you believe it's the truth, say amen. Amen. That's the truth. If you watch the news, you watch it, what they get. And I will tell you this, though. We used to pray in the school where I grew up, and I don't think it hurt me a bit. Do you think it hurt you? Guarantee it didn't. And I tell you this, there's a lot of un-American things going on in America today. Do you know that?
Amen.
That's what I believe. But I want to just say this. Humanism in education. That's the very reason. Let me tell you something. That's the reason you need to get your kids, get them in church.
Amen.
And you need to... Need to come to Sunday school. Need to see to it. And my little granddaughters, that they memorize those verses. And you need to see to it that your kids, that they go to youth camp. And you need to see to it that they sing in the youth choir. You need to see to it. And don't criticize. Let me say this. And don't criticize your church in front of your kids. And don't criticize. I appreciate it, Dr. Joe, what you said. Don't criticize the preacher. And, you know, I know you know that too. I know I grew up in a home, and sometimes people eat me for lunch. They had fried preacher for lunch. Proud of hell. But I wouldn't criticize my church in front of my kid. Don't do that. What I'm saying is you're not going to have your kids forever. You won't have them very long. It'll be gone. Seemed like just yesterday, Pam and Trace and Tim were babies, but now they grown folks. They gone. And I don't know where the time went, but I tell you this. You won't have them always, but you got them now. And while you got them, you can pour something in their heart so that when they grow up, they'll say, like Ruth did to Naomi, whithersoever thou goest, will I go. And thy people shall be my people, and thy God shall be my God. And I tell you, that's the reason most of these kids are here today, because they're here to worship mama's God and daddy's God. We sang a song, faith, faith of our fathers, holy faith. We will be true unto thee till death. Need to train them. Train up a child. Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. Let me tell you a third thing. Not only is it liberalism, I believe, liberalism in religion, and a lot of humanism in education today. But I want to tell you, the third thing is, there is paganism in society. Alcohol is glamorized. Spend billions on advertising it. But they don't tell you that one out of 15 will be an alcoholic. And I said this to somebody close to me. And said, you know what? Best thing that could happen to a lot of young people is if they load them up and take them all out there to the jail. I've been to the jail this week. Let them. That's right. Let them go to the jail, or better than that, or go to the hospital after people been on the highways and I've seen what alcohol can do. I buried a lot of them. Let them go to the, go to or better than that, go to the morgue and see the finished, real finished product of the brewer's art. Then I tell you another thing today in our society. Pornography. And I'm not just here to point out everybody's sin, you know. Some preachers do that, point out everybody but their own, right? So I'll let y'all preach to me next Sunday. How about that? But I tell you another issue in our society that's pretty big is pornography. I don't know how many people I've had tell me, well, you know, I just sat up there and it popped up on my screen. Well, I tell you, I've been fooling around with a computer for a long time. I never had pornography pop up on the screen. Never have. I tell you what I can tell you about pornography. The two cases I was close to, real close to, both of them went to jail, and one of them will be there for a long time because he killed his wife. She found out he's fooling that stuff, said, I'm going to turn you in. And I buried that wife. I buried it. Call out, you know the situation. Dude. And then another one, when I was a chaplain out here at Fort Rucker, I had a chaplain assistant. He said, come in there. I said, what's wrong with y'all? Him and his wife. So what's wrong? Well, I said, he sits up at night. He's looking at that pornography. And I said, it's young man, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do for you. I'm going to get you kicked out of this outfit. You're going to leave Fort Rucker. I'm going to get you kicked out of the army if I can. If a full colonel can get you kicked out, I'm going to get you kicked out. And I said, if I'm going to get you, I was trying to get his attention. He got him some counseling for about 6 months. And then guess what happened one day? One of the neighbors said, abused my child, my little child. I don't believe it happened, but he went to jail anyway. I'm going to tell you something. Pornography is, I wouldn't listen to them. They say that, and I don't know that much about it. But I know it is a danger now for young people today, what you can get on the internet. And that internet is amazing, isn't it? I think I told you this a couple weeks ago. During Christmas, when my grandkids was here, we talked to their daddy who was 8,000 miles away in Afghanistan. It's amazing. What do you call it? Skype. We Skyped him. And it was about a half a second different, but I tell you, but it's amazing what you can do with that computer's know. But pornography is a real danger. And I'll just say this to parents. You ought to know what your boys and girls, what these teenagers, and even younger than that, you ought to know what they're looking at. Y'all know what they're looking at. Check them out. And then I want to say another thing is hard rock music. That's another thing, another issue today. And, you know, I've been a country music man, a big part of my life. But, you know, hard rock is something else. And some of it's just nothing but a glorified sexual perversion and drugs and alcohol and everything else. And some of it don't belong in your house. If it's in your house... And if you got a kid listening to that stuff, you ought to tell him. And I don't care what they say, the liberalist and the humanist, and they can say, let's teach sex education and all that. Well, I got a good info. Why don't you just get up and say it's flat out wrong? Amen. Talk about safe sex. Why don't somebody get up and say, that is flat out wrong? We're not going to stand for it. But I want to tell you, if I had some of that at my house, I'd throw it out. And I wouldn't be high-handed, hard-handed, hard-fisted about it. Say, my kids, we just have a different standard. Amen. And you need that standard in your heart. The kids need that standard in their heart. Well, that's three things. Humanism, liberalism, paganism. Last thing I want to say is this. A great example, I think, of somebody that raised kids was the parents of Moses. And we have here in Hebrews chapter 11, the Bible says this, and by faith, listen to this, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw he was no ordinary child. What mama ever saw her child and said, that's an ordinary child? Huh? We all feel that way, don't we, Joy? My children, but the Bible says, but oh, by faith, they hid him and he's no ordinary child. And they were not afraid of the king's command. They said, man. And they said, verse 24, by faith Moses. Look at this. Here's a real man. Here's a man that's been trained. By faith Moses, when he'd grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And he chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. He regarded disgrace for the name of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking forward to his reward. We'll come back to Dean Craig and those bird dogs. Bible says old Moses, when he grew up, he refused. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And he chose rather to suffer with the people of God. Because he, and the King James said, because he esteemed the riches of Christ greater than the treasures of Egypt. Three words, three key words. Number one, he refused. He refused. And then the other word is choose. And the other word is esteem. You know why he refused? Dean, if you go home today and give your dog, throw him a bone, and then try to get the bone, what might the dog do to you? He might bite you. But I tell you what you do. If you go home today and you put the bone down, and then over there beside that you put a piece of steak, you think you get that old dog, that old bird dog's attention? I guarantee you would. And I think this is what happened, Bobby Bowden. I think what happened is, rather than get that old bone, I believe any bird dog give up a bone for a good piece of steak. Don't you believe that? And I think that the same is true, what I'm talking about, the same principle of raising kids. You need to show them there's something far better we have in Christ. You know, you don't have to worry about that music or being home a certain time, these rules, do this, don't do that, and all. You just need to show them what you have in the Lord Jesus. You need to live a life before them and to show them that the joys that we have in our faith in the Lord Jesus and the beauty of knowing Him and following Him, the joy and the peace and all that we have in Christ, it far surpasses anything this world has to offer. How many of y'all believe that? Amen?
Amen.
I believe that. And that's what they need to see. They need to see the beauty of the Lord Jesus in your life. Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. My mama, that's my mama's verse. She's praying that for some of my family members. And she said to me, Sharon, she said, the day will come, he'll come back in. He's coming back. He's coming back. She believes that verse. He's coming back. And I tell you, she planted some things in my heart and in the hearts of her kids that they'll never get away from. God give us more mamas and daddies that live by that verse. Let's bow and pray. Father, thank you this morning for your word. It is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. God, there are a lot of issues. There's a minefield out there today, I know. I know that Afghanistan and Iraq are not the only minefields in the world. But there's a minefield out there for kids today. They can go in so many different directions. But Lord, I thank you for the kids that are here listening to me today. These teenagers right down front here. These teenagers. And for the young people back there that Catherine has in Children's Church. I'm grateful that their mamas and daddies saw. I know it's hard sometimes to get up and race the clock to get here and get them dressed and get everybody fed and so much to think about. And I know that people go to great lengths to get here. It's a lot of trouble. That burns a lot of energy. But Lord, I pray that they'll see. I know my little 90-year-old mama today, I know she prayed for me already today. And I know she's so proud that she went the second mile years ago. She kept going and kept going and kept going against discouragement, against hardship, against all kind of issues, all kinds of pressure. She kept going to raise her kids, to train up her children. So, Lord, I thank you for the answer to my mama's prayer. God, I pray that those here today that need to trust you, never made a public confession of their faith, never received you as their saving Lord, never repented of their sins. Lord, help them to know that you died on the cross for them and to offer them, make available to them the free gift of salvation through the Lord Jesus. And that one day you come in again, just like this choir saint, that those that need to come and be part of our church fellowship, Lord, the people whose name's on my book, I just pray, God, and some on your book, Lord, I pray that even now, that if they live here in this community and they need a church home, that God, you'd move on their hearts to be a part of our church family. Lord, have thine own way in this invitation. Have thine own way. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together and sing. Come on, right now, one or two verses. Come on, right now.